Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Zayin. We are starting about the 10th line with the words "My Havala de Mesusa." And today's daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas Maris Meir Masar Basar Yaakov Maisha Her Nishama Should Have an Aliyah El Lili Nishmas Maris Rivka Basar Meir Zev Her Nishama Should Have an Aliyah. So the previous psalm dealt with a story where two fellows were arguing over Mesusa, a bath, and one of them was Makdashit, and we weren't so sure whether or not it's considered Hektish. And the Gemara didn't conclude with anything conclusive, so we still don't know whether or not the bath is Hektish. And so the Gemara over here asks, "My Havala de Mesusa, what's the final psak with his bath? Is it considered Kadosh or not?" So Tashma, we Raya, Dom Rav Chibar Oven, Hava of the Bear of Chizda. A story like this came to Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda Bear of Huna, Rav Chizda Bar Rav Huna, Upash Mehad Rav Nachman, and he answered it based off what Rav Nachman said. Any mamonis is not able to be extracted with Dayanim because a person doesn't have a Raya for it, so he's not able to take it for himself with Dayanim. So if he's Makdashit, it's not considered Kadosh. And over here, the person did not have a Raya that it's his Mesusa, so therefore it's not Kadosh. However, ask the Gemara, hold on 1 second. Does that mean that if he's able to get it with Dayanim, if he's Makdashit, it is Kadosh, Avagav de Loyafke, even though he didn't yet take it out with Dayanim, as long as he's able to get it with Dayanim, he's able to be Makdashit? How could that be? V'amar Rabbi Yechon says, Gezel v'nisyashu b'ailim, if a person stole something, but the b'ailim were not miyayish yet, they didn't yet give up hope of getting it back, so shneim enim v'chayim lakdishai. Neither of them, the owner and the ganiv, are able to be Makdashit. Zelfi shenu shaloi, the ganiv can't be Makdashit because it's not his, v'zelfi shenu reshusai. And this one, the owner, he can't be Makdashit because it's not his reshus. So we see very clearly from here that even though you own the item and you're gonna receive it eventually, if it's not in your rishos, you can't be makdashit. So how can we make the opposite inference in the case of the mesusa? So the Gemara asks, "Mi savers be mesusa metaltalin askinon? Do you really think that we're talking about a bath that's movable, meaning like an actual standalone bath? You know, sometimes you walk into those fancy homes and they have these standalone baths in the middle of the room with those fancy feet. Do you really think we're talking about a mesusa like that that could be moved and therefore it has to actually be in your physical rishos in order to be makdashit? Be mesusa makarka askinon? We're talking about a bath that's karka, such as a bath that's built into the ground or a bath house. If this person is able to extract it, he's able to prove that it's his in front of the Dayanim, so Rishusei Kaima, that means it's automatically considered in his Rishus even before he proved it. Because since it's Karka, Karka can't be stolen, and therefore he would be able to be Makdashit even before he actually proved it. Now we have a similar case of Shnai Meichzin, Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava, Kamed Rabavo, Shnai Madukim Batalis, two fellows are holding on to a talis, Zenotad Makam Shad Magas, Zenotad Makam Shad Magas. Each person receives up until where his hand is physically on this talis. Vashar Cholkim Shave, and the rest of it, meaning the part that's not being held by them, is split evenly. And Mechvile Rabavo showed, meaning he pointed his finger upwards for emphasis, ubeshvua, they only receive with a shvua. As the Gemara, El Masis and Ketani de Palgi Ba'adadi, what about our Mishnah that says that they split it 50-50? V'leketani, and our Mishnah doesn't say, Zendaitel Ad Makam Shadim Agas, that each one gets up until where his hand is holding. Hechem Shkachasla, what's that situation where they're going to split the talus and they don't get what they're actually holding on to? So Amar Papa says, Ditzvisi Bikar Kashta, our Mishnah is talking about the case where they're holding on to the fringes, they're holding on to the edge of the garment. So not really actually holding on to anything, so we can't say each one gets up until where his hand is holding. They're just holding the tip of the garment, and therefore we're going to split it 50-50. But in this situation, where each one is holding on to a significant amount of the garment, so then each one is going to get up until where he's actually holding, and then the rest of it is going to be split evenly. Now Rav Shasha says, Shema Minah, we learn from here, by the fact that each person gets awarded the amount that they're physically holding on to, so we would say that Hai Sudra, this Kenyan Sudra, which we'll explain in a moment, Kim the Tafas Bei Shal Shashalish, once a person holds on to a section of the garment that's 3x3, Karina Bei, we already apply the following Pasuk, Vinasal Re'i, when he gives it to his friend. To come on to Pasuk Dami Vakani, because if he's holding on to something defined and he's Kaina. Now, so whether we just mentioned Sudr has to do with something called a Kenyan Sudr, which is really a type of Kenyan Chalipin. What's a Kenyan Chalipin? So when a sale takes place, one of the ways for the thing to be acquired is through Chalipin, exchange. And usually a Sudr, a kerchief, is given by one party to the other, and when a Kenyan is made on the Sudr, so the item being sold is automatically acquired as well. And it's based off a Pasuk from Megillah Sirus that the Gemara just quoted, Vinasal Re'i, it talks about this Kenyan Chalipin. So Rav Mashashi is telling us that when we're dealing with a Kenyan Sudr, it doesn't have to be that the kerchief is given from one person to the other person completely for the Kenyan to work. All that has to be done is an area of 3x3 fingers is held onto, and that means that both of them are holding onto it. Still, since the one who's creating the Kenyan Chalipin is holding onto an area that's 3x3, which is considered Chashav, so we already have a valid Kenyan over here. As the Gemara, Umayish Tamar Rav Chizda, why is this different than Rav Chizda? Dom Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda says, Get biyadu mashicha biyadai, let's say the woman was given the get, so she's holding onto it, but he, the husband, is holding onto a string, and the string is attached to the get. So if he's able to yank the string and pull the get towards himself, ain't Megreshes, she's not Megreshes. Vimlav, however, if he's not able to pull the get towards himself just by pulling the string, so Megreshes, she is Megreshes. What's the difference over there? Why is our case different than that case? We should say that since she's holding on to it, she's Megreshes, even though the husband still has a string attached. So the Gemara answer is no. Hasam over there, when we're talking about a get, Krisus be'inon. We need to fulfill the pasuk that says that a get is a safer Krisus. It creates a severance. Veleka, and over here, there isn't a 100% severance in between him and her because there's a string attached. Literally, he has a string that he could pull evil towards himself, and therefore specifically in regards to get, it's not considered valid. Whereas hacha nesina be'inan v'ha'ika, over here when we're talking about a kinyan, all it has to be that there's a nesina, as the pasuk said, v'nasan l'riyehu, and it's considered a basic nesina when one person hands the sudra to the other, and the other grabs part of it, even though they're both holding on to it, it's still considered a nesina. Now continue to talk about the talis case, Amar Rava Rava says, im ha'is ha'talis mushaves, if the talis was made out of gold, let's say it was made out of gold thread, chalken, so then they're going to split it. Ask the more pshita, that's obvious. Why wouldn't they split it? What's the chiddush? The answer is like, tzricha, the whole chiddush is, dekai dahava be'metzi, that the gold is in the middle, and we're going to split it 50-50. Ask the Gemara, hanayu pshita, that's also obvious. Why wouldn't they split it 50-50 in that case? It's in the middle. So the answer is like, tzricha, the whole chiddush is, the mikav gabi dechad, that's actually closer to one of them. And so, Mother Tama, you might have thought, the amr lay, that the one who the gold is closer to could tell the other fellow, plague hachi, split it like this, meaning split it halfway this way, so that I can get the gold part. Kamashma, the chiddush is, the amr lay, the other fellow could tell him, my chaz de pagas hachi, plague hachi, why is it seeming to you to cut it that way, cut it the other way, meaning instead of cutting it horizontally, cut it vertically, and therefore I'll get half of the gold, and he does have the right to tie into that. And that's the chiddush. I think Marketees with a similar case, the Shnaim Echzim Metalis, but over here is going to be Shnaim Echzim but something else. Tanarban, we have a Braisa, Shnaim Adukin Bishtar. There are two people coming to Bezin holding on to a shtar. And who are these people? The Malva and the Loiva, the lender and the borrower. Malva Omer, the lender, says, Shalihu, it's my shtar, and it fell for me, and I found it, and therefore the Loiva still owes me the money. The Loiva Omer, and the borrower says, Shalchahu, or Shalchahaya, you're right, it used to be yours, Uparatavulcha, but I paid you, and you returned the shtar to me because I already paid you back, and I dropped the shtar, and therefore I don't owe you any money. Uparatavulcha. So what do we do? There's Machlaikis, Iskaim Ashtar B'chaisam of Divi Rebbe. Rebbe says that we have to validate the shtar with its signatures, meaning we have to go to the Edim and make sure that this actually was a good shtar in the first place, but as long as we're able to confirm that this is a valid shtar, so then we're going to give it to the Malve, and the Malve is going to collect all the money. That's what we're assuming right now. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, Yachloiku, they split it 50-50. However, continues the Braisa, Nafali Hadayin, if the shtar fell to the Dayan, Lo Yitzu Elamis, so we're never going to take it away, and we're not going to give it to either the Loive or the Malve. And Rabbi Yossi says, Harei B'chaskasai, it's in its Chazaka. And we're going to explain everything as we go along in the Gemara. So we begin explaining the Braisa, Amar Meir, Rabbi had said, Yiskam Shtar B'chaisamav, that we validate the shtar with its signatures. As the Gemara of Gavilei Malva Kule, does that mean the Malve is going to collect the entire loan, which is how we were understanding? Velesle Masnisin, Shnaim Echsen V'chulu, doesn't Rabbi hold of our Mishnah of Shnaim Echsen Vitalis that we're going to split it 50-50? And this is just like the case of Shnaim Echsen. So why is it that when we confirm the shtar with the witnesses that were signed on it, that the Malv is going to collect everything? That's clearly not like our Mishnah. So Marava, Amrav Nachman, he answers, B'mekoyim devar kol yachloiku. You're right, that if the shtar was Mekoyim already, and we know that this was a valid shtar, so they're going to split it 50-50. Ki pligi, what's all machlokes, b'she'ena Mekoyim, where the shtar was not Mekoyim yet, and we don't know if it was even a valid shtar in the first place. So Rabbi Sava, Rabbi holds, Moed b'shtar shekasu tzarech l'kaimai, that even though the Loiva agreed that the shtar was written, because as we saw over here, the Loiva agreed, yes, it used to belong to you, but I paid you. So even though the Loiva admitted that he borrowed the money, still we have to be Mekayim the shtar. And therefore, V'Mekayim Le, if the Malva is Mekayim the shtar, Pollux, then he's allowed to split and he receives half his money. V'Loi Mekayim Le, and if the Malva is not successful in being Mekayim it, Loi Pollux, then he doesn't get to split it, meaning he doesn't receive any of his money. My time of why is that? Chas Ba'almahu, because just considered a piece of pottery. It's considered worthless if he's not Mekayim it. And why is it considered a worthless shtar if the Malva is not Mekayim it? Because Man Kamashu Le Lahai Shtara, who's the one that's giving the shtar any validity at all? Loiva. It's the borrower who's giving it validity, because he's admitting, yes, I borrowed this money from you. However, Hakamar Defriya, in that same sentence, he's saying that he paid it back already, and therefore the shtar is not considered Mekoyim, and that's why if the Malva wants him to collect at least half, he wants to have a Yachloikup sak, he would have to be Mekoyim the shtar. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, why the shtar shakasu and sark lekaimai. Once the Loiva admits that the shtar was written, and that it was at least once upon a time a valid shtar, so the Malva doesn't have to be Mekoyim it. Va'afagav doloi Mekoyim le Yachloiku. And even though the Malva wasn't Mekoyim it, so there's a psak of Yachloiku. And that's all Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying. Now, can you explain the next part of Braisa? We had said, Nafali Adayin lo Yitzio Elamis, that if the shtar had fallen to a Dayan, so we're never going to take the shtar away, and we're not going to return it to the Loiva or to the Malva. Talik Mar Zayin Obez on top asks, Mashnal li Adayin, what's the difference if it fell to a Dayan? It could have fallen to somebody else. Meaning, if somebody else, other than the Loiva or Malva, has the shtar, it would make sense to say, don't give it to either the Loiva or the Malva. Why dafka are we saying that a Dayan has it? So Marav Rava says, Hachikamar, this is really what the Braisa is telling us. V'acher shamatzah shtar shenafal li Adayin, that somebody else random who found the shtar, which was once upon a time by the Dayan, then we're not going to take the shtar away from that guy. V'chidami, what's the case if the shtar was by the Dayan? The cost of a henpik, there's a henpik that was written on the shtar. And what is a henpik? So this is when Bezdin validates the shtar and they write a certain lashon on it, confirming that this is 100% valid shtar. So in such a case, lo yitzio elamis, then we're never going to take it away from the guy who has it because we don't know if it was paid back yet or not. And v'lo yimbay loy cost of a henpik, wouldn't even have to say that if there's no henpik on it, it wasn't validated by Bezdin. De'ikla meymar, we could always say cost of lava is v'lava, that there's a big possibility that the shtar was written and the whole intention was that Shimon was going to borrow money from Reuven and that's why the shtar was written. But at the end of the day, Shimon never borrowed the money. And therefore, if there's no henpik, if it wasn't validated by Bezdin, for sure we're not going to give the shtar back to the Loiva or the Malve. El Elo, rather, the whole chiddush over here is afilu kasabei henpik. Even though there is a henpik on the shtar, the mekoyim, we know the shtar is mekoyim, and that means we know that Reuven ended up lending the money to Shimon. Still, lo yachzer, we're not going to give the shtar back to either of them, the chashin leparoin, because we do have to be chayshish that the loan was paid back already, and therefore we're never going to take it away from the guy that found it, unless of course we have proof. Now we continue explaining the brayso of Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi had said, "Hari bechazkasai, it's considered in its chazaka, which means it's considered to be a valid shtar, and we're going to give it back to the malva to collect with." And this means v'lo chashin leparoin that we're not chayshish that the loan paid back. As the Gemara v'lo chashin Rabbi Yosi leparoin, Rabbi Yosi is not chayshish that the shtar was paid back. But Tanya we have a brayso that says, "What's a shtar ksuba b'shuk? If a person finds a ksuba in the marketplace, and we need to know, do we give it back to the woman so she could collect her ksuba, or do we give it back to the man? Because maybe he already paid the ksuba, and so she returned it to him, and he just lost the shtar. Maybe it fell out of his file cabinet. So as much a baal maida, if the baal is maida, he never paid the ksuba, yachzul isha, so we give it to the woman. Ain't a baal maida, if he's not maida, lo yachzul lo yozev lo yozev, so we don't give it to either of them. Whereas Rabbi Yosi says, oide tachas baila, if she's still married to her husband, yachzul isha, we're going to give it back to the woman. Because a man doesn't pay his wife her ksuba before they get divorced. And his armalan is garsha. However, if she was already widowed or divorced, lo yachzul lo yozev lo yozev, so then we're not going to give it to either of them. And why is that? It must be because we're chayshish lepirayin. Then we do suspect that maybe the husband already paid the ksuba, and that's why we're definitely not going to give it back to her. So clearly, there's a steer Rabbi Yosi on himself. This brisa shows us Rabbi Yosi is chayshish lepirayin. So Gemara says no problem. Epach, let's switch it around. Really, our original brisa should be read as follows: Nafli adayin. If the shtar had went to a dayin and there's a henpik on it, lo yitzia elamis, don't take it away. Did Rabbi Yosi? That's what Rabbi Yosi says because we are chayshish lepirayin. Whereas Bachamim and the Chachamim say harei bechazkasai, it's in its chazaka, and we don't have to be chayshish lepirayin, and we're going to give it back to the malve. That's Gemara ihachi. If so, if you're switching around opinions in the first brisa, so it's a great answer for Rabbi Yosi. There's no steer Rabbi Yosi on himself. But kasha drabanan drabanan. We have a kasha drabanan on themselves, because that means that in the first brisa they're not chashul apirayin, but in the second brisa, the one about ksuba, they are chashul apirayin. So how do we answer that? And the answer is shtar ksuba kula Rabbi Yosi. Really, that second brisa that discusses shtar ksuba, that entire brisa is Rabbi Yosi. V'chsuri mechsra, and there's something missing in the brisa. V'achri ketani, and this is really what should be taught. In a baal maida, if the baal is not maida, lo yachzur lo yozev lo yozeh. Don't return the ksuba to either of them, not to the husband or to the wife. And about medrash mumim, when is this? Shenas armal, shenas garsha. If she was widowed or divorced, aval oide tachas baila. But if she's still married, yachzur l'isha. So then we will give it back to the woman because a husband doesn't usually pay the ksuba while he's still married to his wife. And it's best to add in the words divrei Rabbi Yosi. This is what Rabbi Yosi says. She Rabbi Yosi Omer, because Rabbi Yosi says oide tachas baila yachzur l'isha. If she's still married to her husband, then we're going to give the ksuba to her. Whereas shenas armal, shenas garsha. If she was widowed or divorced, lo yachzur lo yozev lo yozeh. We're not going to give it to either one of them. So according to this, in order not to have an issue with shitas Rabbi Yosi, we're going to switch around the first brisa, and that doesn't create a stira in divrei Rabbanan because the second brisa is really completely shitas Rabbi Yosi and not shitas Rabbanan at all. However, a papa or a papa gives a totally different answer. Lo'ilam lo'i tepach. Really, don't switch around the first brisa, and that means Rabbi Yosi is not chashul apirayin. So what's pshat in the second brisa? The answer is Rabbi Yosi l'divrei Rabbanan ka'amr l'hu. Rabbi Yosi is just speaking to the Rabbanan based off of their own shita, and he's telling them as follows: Lididi, according to me, afilu nisarmla o nisgarsha nami lo'i chashin l'apirayin. Even if she was widowed or divorced, and it would make sense that he paid her the ksuba ready, we're still not chashish that he paid her. However, Lididchu, according to you, Adili Mias, at least admit to me, but Aditachas Baila, then when she's still married to her husband, the Yachzul Isha, then we should return the ksuba to the woman, the Lavas Pirayinhi, because it wouldn't make sense that he paid her in that situation. Farmerly Rabbanon, and in essence, the Rabbanon are responding to him, Amer Tsari Atfasa. I would say that even in that situation, when they're still married, he gave her a bundle of money and she's holding on to it. In other words, while they're still married, he gave her money to hold on to, and that could technically be considered a payment for the ksuba. And therefore, even in that situation, the Rabbanon are saying, we're not going to return the ksuba to her. Now, Ravina Amar Ravina gives a different answer. Lo'ilam Ebach Kamaisa. Really, we will switch around the first brisa, like we suggested originally in the first answer. And there's still no steer in the Rabbanon, because the time of the Rabbanon Hacha, the reason the Rabbanon over here is Mishimel Chashin Lashtei Ksubas. We're chashish that maybe there's two ksubas. And therefore, when we find the ksuba in the marketplace, if the husband is not Maida, so then we're not going to give it back to her, even if they're married, because maybe after writing the first ksuba, the husband decided to write a second one, and that means that she has two ksubas, and she could end up collecting fraudulently. So therefore, we're not going to return this ksuba. Whereas Rabbi Yosi, Lashtei Ksubas, Lechayish, Rabbi Yosi is not chayish that there's two ksubas, because if the husband really wrote a second ksuba, he probably did so in Beis Din, and then there would be a kail, everyone would know about it, and since people don't know about a second ksuba over here, we don't have to be chayishish. So we have three different answers to this seeming stira in Shitas Rabbi Yosi. Now we continue talking about this case of two fellows walking to Beis Din, holding onto a shtar, the malva and the loive. We have this machlokes between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, what we do, and we're going to be focusing on Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita that yachlaiku, we make a division. So Rav Blazer says, machlokes, when does Rav Shimon Gamliel say this psak of yachlaiku? Over here, machlokes does not mean the argument is fill in the blank. It means when do we say this psak of yachlaiku? That's if both of them are holding onto the taifes, or both of them are holding onto the taref. Now let's just pause over here to explain what exactly the taref and the taifes of a shtar is. So every shtar is two parts, the taref and taifes. The taref is usually the beginning of the shtar and has the most important parts of it, the names of the malva and the loive, the date and time of loan. Whereas the Tifes says all the other details. And it's important to note, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, that the last line of the Tifes repeats the key information of the Tiref besides for the date. So Blazer is telling us that if they're both holding on to the Tifes of the Shtar, or they're both holding on to the Tiref of the Shtar, then we're going to split it evenly. If one of them's holding on to the Tifes and one of them's holding on to the Tiref, remember the Tiref is the main part of the Shtar, and the Tifes is all the other information. So then, Zenotel Tifes, Zenotel Tiref, each one gets what he's holding on to. Whereas Rabbi Yechon argues with Blazer, and he says, we're always going to make a split. So ask the Gemara, does that mean that we're going to split it 50-50, even though one of them's holding on to the Tifes and one of them's holding on to the Tiref, and these are two different parts of the Shtar? But Tanya, what a Brisa very clearly, which stated on Amud Aleph, is then Noitel Ad Makam Shadim Agaz, that each one takes up until where his hand is holding on to. And if this person is holding on to the Tifes and the other one's holding on to the Tiref, so that's how we should split it. We should cut it along that line. So my answer is, let's the Hoche Hadesh is the Kai Tiref Bei Metzi, where the Tiref happens to be in the middle of the Shtar, and no one's holding on to it, so therefore we're going to cut it in the middle. Ask the Mari Hachi, if that's really so, my Lememra, what's the Chiddish? Everyone would agree to that. It's not like Rabbi Yechon's arguing with Rabbi Lazar would agree in that case as well, that if both of them are holding on to the edges of the Shtar and the Tiref is in the middle, so we're going to split it evenly. So my answer is, let's the Hoche Hadesh is the Mikav Lekabi Dechad, the Tiref happens to be closer to one of them. Malatim, you might have thought, Amrle Plague Hachi, that the one who's closer to could say, let's cut it this way so that I get the Tiref. Kamash Malan, the Chiddish is, the Amrle, that the other one could tell him, my Chaz Zapalgas Hachi, Plague Hachi, why is it seeming to you to cut it that way? Cut it the other way so that it could be 50-50 and even. And that's all that Rabbi Yechon is saying. And we continue talking about this. Amrle Rabbi Chaim Diftel Ravina, the Rebbe Lazar, Korn Trebbe Lazar, the Amorite said, Zenotel Tiref, Zenotel Tiref, that when one's holding the Tiref and the other one's holding the Tiref, so each one takes what he's holding. Lumbly, what do I need this for? Meaning, what does the guy need this piece of paper for? Does he need it to wrap around his flask? In other words, cutting a piece of paper in half doesn't do you any good. All you could do is wrap it around your flask or use it as a bottle stopper. And so what type of svara is this? So Amrle, he answered him, Ladami, we're actually talking about the value. He doesn't mean to take a scissors and cut the shtar in half. He just means that the value of the typhus of the shtar is given to that one, and the value of the tariff of the shtar is given to the other one. And what is the difference in value? The Amr Hachi says as follows, Shtar de is beizman kamashavi. A shtar that has the date written in it, how much is it worth? Udo less beizman kamashavi. And a shtar that doesn't have a date written in it, how much is it worth? Shtar de is beizman gavi mishavdi. A shtar that has his man written in it, the lender could collect from a shubadim, because if it's written very clearly that Reuven lent money to Shimon on Sunday, so any property that Shimon sold after Sunday could be collected by Reuven. That's Mishubadim. So it's great to have his mind on the Shtar. Ve'idach, whereas the other one, meaning the Tifes, which doesn't have the date, Loi Gavim Mishabdi, you can't collect from Mishubadim because it doesn't have a date on it. And therefore, there's a difference in value between the two Shtaros. And Yoiv Lei Hecht, Beni Beni, if we're saying that we have to split it 50-50, that means that the one holding on to the Tiref has to give the difference in value to the one holding on to the Tifes, because again, the Tifes doesn't have a date, so he can't collect from Mishubadim, and the Tiref does have a date, so he could collect from Mishubadim, and therefore there is a difference of value between the two of those. And continue to clarify, when we said that we split the shtar, it means the value of the shtar is split and not that it's cut into two pieces of paper, because if we don't say that, what about our Mishnah, when two people come to Beis Din holding onto a talis, do you want to say they cut the talis in half? That wouldn't make sense. That's going to totally ruin the talis, and neither of the people that are being eichas in the talis are going to end up walking out with anything. So obviously it must mean that they're going to sell the talis and they split the value 50-50, so to over here when we're talking about the shtar. So Gemara says, holy kasha, that's actually not a question, meaning that's not a raya. Chesam and Aleph on the top, we could actually say that we do cut the talis in half to chazil ktanim, because it would be good for ktanim. Let's say they come in holding a regular size cloak or shawl, so even if it's cut in half, it might not be able to be used for adults, but it could be used for kids. Each half could be used as a kid's shawl, and therefore there's no raya from the Mishnah. However, we continue v'hadam Rava, that which Rava had said, that if it was a gold talis, we split it 50-50. Do you want to say that we actually cut the talis in half? That's going to ruin it. It's made out of gold. So we answer, no. Holy cash, it's not a question. It's fit for princes. It's the same idea. They walk in holding a shawl made out of golden threads, and even when they cut it in two, it can't be used for adults. It could still be used for princes. But here are some conclusive. That which it says in the first Mishnah, if two people are riding on an animal, v'chulu, and the Mishnah had said that we're going to split it 50-50, does that mean that we cut the animal in half? He's ruining the animal. Of course, we're not going to cut the animal in half. So we say, if we're talking about a kosher animal, like a cow, for example, so then we actually could cut it in half because we could shecht it and split the meat 50-50. El tmeya. But if we're talking about a non-kosher animal, let's say they're both riding a horse claiming that it's theirs, chav sedua, then they're definitely ruining it because they can't eat the meat. Well, you can't ride around town with half a horse. So ella, it must be that what's the mission talking about? Ladami, that we split the value of it. Hachanami ladami. So to over here, when we're talking about a shtar, it means that we're splitting the value of it. And that's a raya. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow discussing a din that we can learn from our Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.